My Father, I come to you this morning, and again we thank you for this day, for the Word of God that's been taught in the Sunday school hour. And now we open the pages of this book again, and we look towards heaven, desire that which would be needed for us to understand in this life, our lives, dear Lord, the things that take place, we may give you credit and praise, good and bad, for you're in charge of all things. And our Father, we thank thee to know that when things do go bad, dear Lord, I have the comforting hand of God. There's an evil world. Evil personifies itself when it's allowed. And dear Father, evil brings about the trouble we're in because that's sin. And the wages of sin is death. So I pray that you'd give us this morning what is needed to help us while we're here in this life until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to read a verse, about verse 3 through 9 there. And then I'd like to go to John 16. Then I'll just quickly refer to James 1, 15 and Romans 6, 23. Just the moment. Here, Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy," I don't know if it's about you, but I love that. He just don't have mercy. He's got abundant mercy. That means there's a great supply. "According to his abundant mercy, he hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." How? "By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." To what? "To an inheritance." Now, this is written so I can use this individually with these, even though it's a conjunction and after each one. "To an inheritance, first of all, incorruptible, then and." And I can also read, "to an inheritance that is undefiled." And I can also read, "to an inheritance that fadeth not away." It's not something that is promised and then suddenly you don't get it because something happened that got misplaced. Or somehow or another just faded out of view. It was real for a moment. The vision was gone. That was it. Or "to an inheritance," notice what he said, "where it's at. Reserved in heaven." For who? For you. That's a powerful verse of scripture. When you see what he's saying about this, reserved in heaven, I'm told that Jesus said, you know, moth and robbers and thieves cannot get those rewards out of there over Matthew chapter 6. So that's definite. That's security. These are the things that we have in Jesus Christ because he was raised from the dead. Now, reason I say that, he would not have been who he said he was if he had not risen from the dead. So the power in these verses comes from what we see in verse 3, that by the resurrection, which is our lively hope, not a dead hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Notice another thing when we talk about what we have as an inheritance, incorrupt, undefiled, fading not away, reserved in heaven. For you. Who are the you? The born-again children of God. Watch in verse 5. The you, if you're born again, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. God is making us ready to be revealed in that day when he puts the church on display in all of its purity. Not what the world sees now with the problems that we have in flesh that they don't understand and we don't understand a lot of times ourselves. But in that day with a glorified body, the church will be put on display with all the purities that found in God himself. What a day that's going to be. And here he goes on and he says that through faith and salvation, ready to be revealed last day, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Wherein what? In these things, he said in verse 4 and 5, and many others you see in God's Word. We greatly rejoice, though now for a season it need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. Would you got this promise, this wonderful reward, the end results of this wonderful salvation, but you've not got there yet. It's reserved in heaven. There are blessings that he's given you and said to you while you're here from the day you get saved to God, day God gets you home. But at the same time, we're here now and some things are happening. We rejoice though now for a season in this life. If need be, ye are in heaviness. If need be, notice that. than if it by chance just happened. But if need be, tells me God's hand's in this thing, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, trials, troubles, and so forth. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, the world don't understand this. I guarantee you probably don't understand this like we, and I don't understand it like we should. But he says, after he gives us all of this wonderful information, and why are we here, it need be now, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. How in the world can the trial of my faith that can bring me trials and troubles and heartache be more precious than gold? That's what the world seeks after. That's what the world wants, thinking of making it happy, but they don't. He says, that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That which is precious in this sight of gold, he says this trying is much more precious than that, because what's going to happen, we'll see the end results in its entirety at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even so come, Lord Jesus Christ, I say. Because there's so much that God's going to show that we just can't see now. And he goes on and says, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see him not, ye believe, yet believing. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. With all the trials and the troubles and the heartaches that come, we still rejoice with joy unspeakable, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. And then we see in John chapter 16, he tells us that Jesus is speaking. He finished the discord. He left in 13. We've been studying and from the upper room. Now he's headed towards to the Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, and he's teaching his disciples, and he said a lot of things from end of chapter 13 to get to down to 17. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Notice where it says, not in the world. You're not going to have the peace like the world has, but Jesus said, in me ye shall have, you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I like that. That's past tense, even though it's a future event. And only God can speak that way. I want to speak to you this morning on why does God allow suffering? Now, it amazes me today, if you believe like many do, that one good sign that you're right with God is that you've got plenty of money, got good health, and things are going just well. Well, I'll tell you what. I've served God a number of years from the time I got saved at 19 year old until just the last probably two to three years in the last 2 years. And I could have been very easy, a good charismatic because God had blessed me so well because I'm serving Him. I'm serving Him just as much now as I was then. And I'm going through a lot of trouble. This old body is failing. And I'm glad I have the Word of God that I can go back to and understand why it's failing. If God does not forsake us as we get older just because we begin to get sick and things. By the way, this body will get sick. You live long enough and it will get sick. Mark it down. You will get sick if you live long enough. Because this body is dying. I just read recently that the body, actually at age about 21 or 2 years old, is when the body gets to the point that it is developing itself. And then after that, it's constantly just replacing and dying. Cells are replacing, dying and being replaced. And so, I'm glad I have the Word of God to help me understand these things that I'm going through. When you think about sin, the Bible teaches us sin is finished. When it's finished, it bringeth forth death. In James chapter 1 verse 15. In Romans chapter 6 verse 23, it said the wages of sin is death. Now, it's a known fact, sin is rampage since Adam's sin. It's a known fact Jesus paid the sin debt. But one thing is for sure, Him paying the sin debt did not do away with sin while we're in grace, while we're living in these physical bodies. But it didn't make us be able to have a relationship with God that where He could forgive us our sins and make us children of God. But I'm still in this physical body. Now, if death would come like that, I'd probably have not very little pain. Or if I had a pain, I would not feel it. Because I'd be gone before the body could react to it. But the thing about it is this: there's a preliminary condition that because of these bodies are like they are, that leads up to that point of death. And that's where a lot of the troubles and trials and problems come that you and I face when it comes to pain and hurt and heartache and things like that. And then there's things in this world that has nothing to do with the physical body, that relationships brings trouble and heartache and pain, which in turn is just as bad as physical pain. Believe me, my wife and I have been counseling for years now, and we see people who are hurting. They don't have a cut or cancer or anything like that, but they're hurting because there's an emotional relationship problem and can't get it settled. Amen! I'm telling you, we're living in a time that we're faced with problems and troubles and trials. Now, why does God allow suffering? It's an important question. In Romans chapter 8, and I'm spitting all over this place. Amen. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 and 19, God's word simply says this. Paul said, as I read to you what he evaluates situation, for I reckon that the suffering of this present world is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. So I say to you again, and as a matter of fact, I see what's happening. It's not me spitting. It's that leaking up there now. Amen. We got a condensation problem here this morning. Why does God allow suffering? You say, well, preach, why? You have that? Well, yes, sir. One person said, a piece of paper can't carry fire in a sermon. But I heard one time years ago, and thank God for it, you can start a fire with a piece of paper. Amen. And that's what sermons are, to start a fire in your heart. I'm not trying to tickle your ears. I'm trying to get you to understand that this word can start a fire in your heart if you let it. When I think about this thing of preconditions and the suffering and pain that one has to go through, someone finds they got cancer, 2 years they die, but look at all the things they go through before they actually die. And you look and say, does God love me? Sure he does. Is it because of something they've done? Not necessarily, though it could. I'll tell you this. There are things that we suffer because we make bad choices. Then there's things that we suffer because someone else made a bad choice. And then there's some things that we suffer too just because the body itself went wild somewhere or another. Amen? Just went wild. And I've got news for you. I don't care what the world says. God knows about it all. And God can control it all any way he wants to. We have faith to him to trust him and know he can answer prayer. But our faith in him is submitted to him also to know whatever has happened, he wants the best for us, and we will get the best in the end results. If you don't see it and I don't see it here, I will see it and you will see it one day, not only here but in glory, I guarantee you. So why does God allow suffering? Grief and suffering are a normal part of the human experience. Grief and suffering are natural parts of our everyday life. Why? Because of sin. Sin causes us our problems. By the way, Satan is a powerful being, but if he can get a person to sin, you don't have to worry about him causing anything else because sin will cause it. Sin is an instrument that Satan uses. It causes us our problems. It is nothing unusual to face discouragement in this world in some form or fashion. Even highly motivated people who are highly motivated are not exempt from discouragement. And discouragement can lead to depression, and depression can lead to all kinds of problems, which will, in the end result of deep depression, cause physical problems if you're not careful. One of the things I studied in psychology is the fact of what happens. People don't realize, and we live in the most depressed world that's ever been. Because we have so much, take so much to attain it, that we're constantly depressed because we're discouraged. And discouragement is a tool of Satan in this day. He don't care how he discourages us. He just knows if he can get us discouraged, we're headed a downward road unless we can check it along the way. Notice what Jesus said in John 16, again, verse 33. He didn't say that you may have trouble. He didn't say you might have trouble. He didn't say that you could have trouble. He didn't say it's a possibility. If you don't watch it, you can have trouble. No, he said, ye shall have trouble. Be of good cheer. I've overcome this world. Ye shall have trouble. It's very, very, very important. It's a given fact that we will face sorrow and grief and hurt in this world. We all need spiritual nurturing for spiritual strength in time of trouble. We don't necessarily need that in the time of good health. We don't need it in the time things are going well. But I'll tell you this, when you get in the valley of struggle and everything is centered to go in us because we can't understand and hurting or whatever the situation is, we need God's truth, God's strength at that particular time. And when you're in the valley, listen, just knowing that suffering is a natural part of our lives does not answer the question, why does God allow suffering? Just because, believe me, I've studied this book for 47 years. I believe this book, you know that. But even what I know about this book, at the moment of the very depth of a situation I go through, I'm so concentrated on the problem that I'm facing with the bewilderment of it that many times knowing the scriptures at that moment seem not to be a help. They're helping, but I can't see it. I can't see it. And then I don't realize till later how God was helping me and the end results, why I was going through that particular valley at that time. No one wants to suffer. No one likes to hurt. No one likes to feel waves of grief. And yet God promises that He would use our suffering to make us better, to make us stronger, to make us more fit for His service. That's what we find in Romans 8:28. For all things work together. He said all things to them that love God and are called according to His purpose at that time. One person said that which does not kill you makes you strong. Now, such a statement doesn't help someone who's struggling through adultery or who's struggling through adversity. I mean, that, you know, again, that which will not kill you will make you strong. That don't help me if I'm in the middle of adversity. It may be a true statement. And certainly God does make us stronger. But I'll tell you, if I have to hurt to be strong, I don't want to be strong. I know what it is to have pain, don't you? Some of us do. I know what it is to hurt. You get a kidney stone, and I'll tell you what, you're not thinking about strength then. You're thinking about getting rid of that thing. When you're in pain, so much pain that your head hurts and you throw up, that's Johnson County word for whatever it is, amen. What I'm saying to you, at that moment, you just want to get rid of the pain. Not realizing, though, God's promise is true. When you go through it and come through it, you're going to be strengthened. And there's reason why He strengthened us in such areas like that, because we're all in the same boat in this life. Adversity should not make us bitter, because God will make us in the better in the end results. So here we see God in the middle of our pain. Romans 8:31 again says that what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? But when you're in the middle of pain, that verse don't mean a whole lot at that moment, but it will within a period of time. It will when you begin to look back and see what God does. So why does God allow suffering? Let me give you four things. Now I'm talking about death comes. We know the wage of sin is death. We know we're going to die. Appointed a man wants to die. We didn't ask for it. God appointed it for us. It's somewhere down the road for us unless the rapture takes place. But the precondition of death for some of us may be not so well. Some may have a heart attack. Then they're gone. And before you can even know, you felt the pain in your chest and that was it and you were gone. But then some people linger on for weeks and months. And they suffer everything they go through. We don't understand that. You can't evaluate that. Only God knows what He's doing. And only God knows what He's allowing. And why He's allowing. But there's four things I know that we can know that if God allows us to go through some suffering, that this is the reason why. Number one is this. Suffering proves our spiritual death. Suffering will prove our spiritual death before God. Since you got saved, have you ever let comfort take over your life where you were spiritual at one time? You got only in life and you were really God. And then all of a sudden comfort came in. Maybe progress came in. Maybe you found yourself pleasure came in. And here routine and pleasure and things replaced relationship. Yes, you said, I work all the time. And I thank God, but I just work all the time. But do you ever do anything for God? Because if there's not something we're doing from God, then whatever it is has replaced a relationship in sections. So here, when we find that when comfort begins to take over where spiritual, we were spiritual at one time. You feel that you've got this thing all been a Christian worked out in the framework of where one is at. You feel really, brother, I'll tell you what, I just thank God Almighty that nothing has really gone in a way. My thoughts have been fairly pure. And then suddenly one day you're riding down the road on the interstate, and as you have got it worked out, suddenly you see this car comes and cuts you off real fast, like almost causes you to have to hit another car. And next thing you know, you blow your horn at him because you're upset. You'd throw something else if you had it. You blowed your horn. And you blowed your horn at him. And that person who caused the problem all of a sudden turned around and showed you with his finger that you were number one. And it worked on your heart. You lose your temper. Your blood runs hot. And you think that that moment, you realize you're not quite as spiritual as you thought you were. You said, I wouldn't be that way. I hope God lets it happen to you this week. He'll show you who you really are. Don't tell me. My blood burnt here a few months ago when some girls did that. Girls, bless their little pea-picking heart. And then when my wife would drive and blow the horn. And when she blew the horn, just to be polite to let them know we're there. She let us know we were there too. What I'm saying, at that moment you realize, folks, by the way, everyone in here realizes there's a time. We think we got it together. God shows us we don't. See, there's so much we don't know that He does know that He lets things take place sometimes and make us realize we got a lot of work to do on these old sieves. You say, well, preacher, I ain't had that happen. Well, all right, how about when you came home one afternoon, you were tired, and you'd have gone a rough day and had a little trouble with the boss, and the husband or the wife had that attitude that pushed your button just right and set you off, and suddenly it's not the Lord's Prayer or the Beatitudes that come through your mouth. Suddenly it's not, God bless you, honey. But instead, there's that area, and you say, wait a minute. I'm not where I thought I would be or should be. Trials and suffering and grief are very effective at taking our spiritual temperature. And God allows things to come. He may allow us to create it. It's not that He's the author of it, but He allows it because it lets us see ourselves in reflection of His Word that's either hidden in our heart that we may read from the Scriptures. See, everybody can look good on Sunday, but what about Monday? Everybody can talk good on Sunday, but what about Tuesday? Everybody can behave real well on Sunday, but what about Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Oh, I didn't think it worked. Had to worry about it on those days. You see, God sees more of who we are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday than really on Sunday. Only you can see who I am on Sunday. Well, I got my righteous coat on. Praise God. I'm strutted. But God sees your heart. And He looks at the heart in a way that in turn lets us know as we face things in life when we've not got it like we thought we had it. In life, God wants to see the real you and me. Not just on Sunday morning. Trials have a way of making the real person show through, good or bad, in life. Grief has a way of stripping all the pretenses away to reveal the real person. Suffering has a way of making us get real with ourselves and God. And it doesn't mean that one person is worse than another, necessarily. But it does make us all realize we're not got home yet. We're living in an evil, ungodly world, carrying around a flesh that do anything that you let it do. So the first thing I see quickly about suffering, my time's gone, is that suffering proves our spiritual death. Two, suffering produces character. If you look in Romans chapter 1, 5, verse 1 through 5, I can't read that for the sake of time. You'll find there that suffering produces perseverance, as I analyze these words. Because you end up, as you look at Romans chapter 5, you end up the fact that he says in verse 3, not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation works with patience, patience work, experience and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. So what happens? Suffering produces perseverance. And then perseverance produces character, and that shows us things about God that no one else would ever see without that. And then character produces hope. That's what we see in these verses. You say that you don't see how that works. Let me give an example. Do you remember years ago a person that was in high school with you or in school, and it seemed like they didn't struggle about anything in the world? Here you were struggling. You couldn't hardly get through. I mean, that person, he or she always had the best, seemed like. They had the best toys. They had the best clothes. I mean, you were lucky. If you got your clothes at the beginning of the year, you had to wear them all year. And every few weeks, they'd come in with something new on, new pair of shoes, new pair, the best kind, the kind with the names on them, that you sometimes wanted to kind of cover yours up. Yours had a name on them, but it wasn't like that. You remember? Every one of us can. You remember in those days, back then, that when you had to work for your bicycle and weeks and weeks and weeks, and all of a sudden they had the better one on Christmas Day? First bicycle I ever had, I thank God for it. My mother and dad were poor. First bicycle I ever had, didn't have no pedals on, just had a stick on it. The pedals were gone. Got it for Christmas. I learned how to ride a bicycle. My dad had good sense. He knew I'd tear a bicycle all to pieces trying to ride it, so he got me one I could tear all to pieces. Can't do much more to it than because it's already all to pieces. Amen. And then I thank God. It was like a couple years later. He bought me a brand new Roadmaster knee action in the front of that thing. Had handlebar grips and little flowers flying from them. Man, that's a beautiful thing. I mean, that was right now. If I had it here, I'd just ride around this auditorium. I remember that years. But I'm talking about, do you remember those days when you saw someone like that? I mean, when they got 16, they didn't have to borrow mother and daddy's car to drive. They had a new Camaro or a new Mustang, and they drove it around. I mean, just everything. Such a person, really, when you got around, kind of looked down on you. Maybe they didn't think they did, but you thought they did. Just seemed like everything. And finally, you got through school, and they got through school, and now years later, you had to go through. You had to work hard. You would talk things in life that had to be more than just, give me. You taught you had to work and work at it. What's something that hurt you? It helped you. And you developed something when you got later. And when you got in life, you worked hard towards those things that you've got that God would bless you with. And then you saw that person and look at the character of that person now compared to the character then. And you find out that God brought you through something. God loved you so much that He allowed you to be brought to a point that your parents loved you so much that they taught you the work ethic. They taught you to be faithful. They taught you those things that only God would honor and bless. And when you get in adulthood life, you begin to practice that more and you see the results is something that God honors. You know why God loves us so much to leave us a spoiled, bottle-fed baby brat as Christians? He loves us so much. He's helped us to grow in love and joy and peace and long-suffering, kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, which are fruit of the Spirit. We need God's correction in life that keep us from going out on our own. If we didn't have the correction of God sometime in our life, we'd strike out on our own a lot more than we do. Because the flesh leads us astray. God leads us straight, and we bring the flesh where God wants us to be. We suffer through a situation. We see God in the midst of that situation, taking care of us. He gives us strength to go through the situation. He gives us the power to gain character when we come on the other side. Then there's another pain. We get through one. And then suddenly we go through another. You get through one. Thank the Lord. Boy, I'm glad that's behind me. And a few weeks, months, a year or so, you go right through another at that particular time. God sees us through that. Each trial helps us to grow in character, which produces hope because we're literally producing perseverance. And we're perseverance is bringing character, and character is bringing hope. And God can see that, but in our slow process, we can't see it to the end. And we look back And God shines his light upon what he's been doing. We find out simply that that is why God tells us to rejoice in our suffering. As Paul said in Romans 5:3, we glory in tribulation. Man, you can't tell that to the world. What do you think? Are you crazy? You glory in tribulation? Yeah. I don't understand that. I don't either in the flesh. But you can do that. You'd be surprised at the time. Brother Joe, I guarantee you've been some time, brother, in your last few weeks that you felt like you just about the world gone. But there have been some times that God came into sweet fellowship. Just speak to your heart, brother. Just speak to your heart. When you're almost gone and nobody and everybody's around trying to, and then there's you can't explain it. You have to experience it. That God is there. God is there. God will not destroy gold. Or fire will not destroy gold. Boy, it's raining in here. Amen. But it will purify it. When God gets ready to polish his gold, he uses fiery trials. God allows his prized possessions to go through the fire. He always controls the thermostat of the fire, though. Whatever you're facing, he controls the thermostat. God knows the temperature that will burn away the impurities from our lives for his own purpose. He knows those things, and we can count that to be true. Nothing brings character to our lives. Nothing brings commitment to our hearts like opposition. So number one, suffering proves the spiritual depth that we've grown since we've been saved. Number two, suffering proves his character. Number three, quickly, suffering prepares us to serve others. And I'm going to get through these in the next 3 or 4 minutes. It prepares us to serve others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, and you read sometime or another, he talks about being comforted of God so we can comfort others. You can't comfort someone unless you've been through something that needs, that we're in turn to feel and know what God will do. The church must rise up to help encourage and comfort those who have been beaten down by the world. God will use you to help encourage someone who is going through the same kind of pain and same kind of problem that you have gone through with. He would, the end results when you went through it helped someone else. And I think about it so much. That's the reason I know. No matter what I know about God's holy word, no matter how much I claim the promise, I understand 2 Corinthians chapter again 1 in verse 4 when God said that he's going to fix you in such a way that if you go through something, you'll be able to help someone up going through that. No matter what I know about God's word and the comfort that God can bring to my heart, what a joy it is if I face something that I can call a brother and say, my brother, you just been through this. Can you tell me what's going on? And you know they can. They can. Last few weeks I've had some tests. I still affected by it. And I called some brother and said, listen, brother, can you help me? Because there's some things the doctor didn't tell me. And they said, mine didn't tell me either. And you know what? They said, here's how it was. Here's what. And I had exactly the same symptoms what they had. Same thing. Now, God in his word didn't tell me that would happen. I couldn't find it anywhere. But he did say in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that when someone goes through something, then I will bring them through. Could I read it to you quickly? As he talks about these wonderful truths in 2 Corinthians. And this a lot of times read at funerals, but only be read in life. He said, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherein we ourselves are comforted of God. I'll tell you this, not only I believe God's promises, but any other brother goes in this church or anywhere else in my life that goes through what I went through in the last 2 weeks, God can help me be an instrument in his hand to comfort you when you face those things and you'll wonder what in the world's going on. That's what he's talking about. So we go through these things in life and God helps us. He gives us confidence. He gives us comfort. He gives us end results that you can help someone else in life. God will use you to encourage someone who's going through the same kind of pain that you've gone through. Have you lost a child? Have you lost a loved one? Have you been told that you have cancer? Have you lost your job? Have you gone through a bad divorce? Have you had one to die of cancer? If there have, there's a child of God somewhere or another has been through that already. And they know God is true to His Word. They know that He'll bring you through. They know that He's there. Even when you think sometimes, God, why has this happened to me? Why, God, has this happened to me? God, I've loved You and served You all these years. And He says, son, daughter, claim the promise. Claim the promise. Oh, God, I'm claiming the promise. I don't have the pain. God, I don't understand this. I believe You. Not that I don't trust You. I trust You with everything. But I just am in a bewilderment. And then suddenly He'll send somebody by. And they say, you know, brother, I went through that. Sister, I went through that. And let me tell you, boy, I can't explain how I felt when I went through it. But when God got me through it, and you begin to tell what was the after effect, how God used you somehow or another to help someone, to encourage someone, to bless someone, to identify with someone. And then suddenly you said, Lord, what a wonderful thing that You would let me go through something to help someone else. What a wonderful thing that I could not see when I was hurting. God, You let me go through this. I'm going to see that person again. I'm going to see you one of these days. I love You because You first loved me. And now You've done that to promote Your kingdom, that I will be used to help someone going to cross my path that needs me to fulfill 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. There is someone who needs to know that someone has walked through the same circumstances and knows that there is hope in the future from God. God loves people. God can take your grief and your pain and your suffering and use you to make the difference for someone else's life. Here are things, routine and pleasure has not replaced relationships. Because there's nothing else that you have will work. And then the fourth one, would you give me a minute? People need circumstances, environments to grow thereby, like seeds need ground to germinate. And I was thinking about this the other day. I was in a store looking at some seeds. And I missed some things on the farm. I'm not a good gardener. I probably could be if I tried. But I thought about it. I'm going to might get me about 5 packs of those seeds and get me a bucket and put me some dirt in them and just plant them, see if they'd come up. Seeds must be put in the ground to produce. God puts us in environments, or allows environments, for His planted seeds. Our fertile ground is broken by trouble and water by tears. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, won't go there for sake of time, tells us to break up the fertile ground. And I believe this, God is serious. God is serious, folks, about His investment. In Job chapter 23, verse 10, Job said, but He knoweth the way that I take. But when He had tried me, Job said, I shall come forth as gold. Amen. Notice, when He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God's promises are true. Most people spend their time talking about what they want from God rather than what God wants from them in service. Most people have no idea what God is doing in their life unless they're led by some kind of false thinking when it comes to the way the world looks at God as a grandfather in heaven. Christianity's faith is not stocks and bonds or finances, but it's in Jesus Christ. He's the focus point. He's the focus point. Hebrews 11, verse 36 through 40. In those verses, if faith in Christ doesn't deliver you from a fiery trial, faith in Christ will surely lead you through it. And I love that. I love that. So I don't pretend to have all the I don't pretend I have figured all the things out, folks. I'm not saying to you, as a pastor, that you'll understand some things when you're going through. But God's promises are sure. God's promises are real. I do know that God can give you strength to make it through your pain and your suffering, your grief. Thank you for those good days. You'll probably have more of those if you live to be 70, 80 years, 60, 70, 80 years old, and you have bad, unless you're hurt real bad in the early years of some disease or something. But when you get to that point and your body starts to fail, then you think only of those failing parts. It's easy to forget the good days. And since man rebelled in the garden, we have tried in a sin, we have lived in a sin-cursed world where bad things do happen to good people sometimes because of sin. Thank God we have His promises. Romans 8, 28 through 39 teaches us a lot of those good promises. We'll not be separated from God. And if Jesus Christ is your Savior, my Savior, God has promised, has a promise for you right now, wherever you may be, whatever situation you're in. Yet, you may still ask. Though the promise is there, though you know it, you may still ask, God, why does you allow suffering? Why do you allow suffering? And you'd have to come back again with the thought, what I'm going through, God's going to use me to encourage someone who is going through the same kind of pain that I'm going through. He's going to get me through it. And either I'll do it personally or my life will do it, whatever comes after that. And God will use you to encourage those people. There is someone, hear me, there is someone who needs to know that someone has already walked through the same type of circumstances that you're going through, and they know that there is hope for the future because God keeps His word. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. God keeps His word. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart, God has raised him from the dead. It's what we see been said as the Apostle Paul gives that wonderful exact formula that God gave him to be saved. Thou shall be saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. So, next time you face something and you're bewildered, don't be bitter with God, but don't be afraid because you don't understand it. Just submit, believe God, find His Word, read it, and then as you wait, God will send somebody by who's been through something to help you understand and reassure you what you believe God does. And then the next time, you will be the one that God sends someone by that you can do the same thing. Stand to your feet, please. Our Father, I want to thank you for the Word of God. Lord, you cannot write down thy shall and thou shalt not everything. If we did, there'd be so many books written. But you give us principles, you give us truth to go by, and then you give us the Holy Spirit to help us to put this systematically together. I thank you for that. Would you honor yourself today as we look into the Word of God, preparing our hearts for something for the future until we see you face to face. That's the reason this services are so important. People belittle it because relationships change with you. They don't see the need to be in the house of God. Lord, it just amazes me how it is that God means so much one time, the next go around don't mean anything much at all as long as I just keep touching base over here once in a while. Lord, everything in the house of God, if it's godly, will point us to something that will help us in our spiritual life. Would you help today someone who's not saved first to know Christ? In a minute, someone hears this on the radio. Maybe nobody will be touched here, but someone on the radio will be touched in a few minutes because they listened to this message. You didn't give me hours of working on this, Lord, to go unheeded. Somebody, somewhere needs this message. Honor yourself by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.